Fighters, today on the Contractor Fight Podcast, I talked to my buddy Dan Bennett. He's a contractor on the East Coast. He's been in our community for about a year. I want to give a shout out publicly to Josh Gadboys, who is a member of our Battleground group along with Dan. And as you'll hear in the story, Josh opened his mouth, shared about our programs and just how his life has changed and things like that. And Dan's like, well, shit, that sounds good. So Dan kind of jumped in, and he is in the process right now of changing everything in his business, from the way he does his numbers and tracks things to the way he sells, and most importantly, his mindset about success and the value he brings. So that's what we're going to talk about today on the Contractor Fight Podcast with my buddy Dan Bennett. Dan, welcome to the fight, man. What's going on?
How you doing today, Tom? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing well. So what are we? We are a Monday morning here, hitting the ground running, attacking a new week. And You're my first interview of the day, which is cool. So tell everybody who's listening a little bit about you. Who are you? What do you do? How long have you been doing it?
All right. Well, my name's Dan Bennett. My company is DBC Solutions. Started out as just DBC, Dan Bennett Carpentry, in 2004. And then I moved to a new area in 2018 and started over as DBC Solutions. I'm a carpenter by trade. And, you know, that's how I got into the business as a craftsman. Had no idea what I was doing for a very long time. And actually pretty much until I met you guys. So, and the transformation has begun. You know, it's amazing. Amazing difference already, but I got a long ways to go. Well, we did. My whole life, I did anything. You called me up and said you had something to do with your home you needed fixed. I didn't care what it was. If I didn't know how to do it, I'd learn how to do it. I just had to keep the wheels turning. And now I've niched down to just home transformations, I call them, but additions, kitchen and bath renovations, and outdoor living spaces.
What's your favorite one to do? If you had one project you could do for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I like the big addition projects, addition combination renovations. So we're, you know, like really expanding the whole house, longer term projects that take a few months. That's my favorite.
That's cool, man. So one of the things I didn't know, so you've had your own business since what, about 18 years since 2004, you said?
Right. There was a couple years in between there from 2014 to 2018 where I was out of business, you would say, but.
Okay.
But yeah.
So you fired it back up in 2018 and here we are. So
yeah.
One of the things you said that I didn't know is you said you had it going and then you moved to a new location. How far away did you move and why did you move?
I lived in New York for the first time and I'm from Connecticut. So I moved back to Connecticut because my family, all of my brothers are a lot younger than me. Mm. And they were just starting to raise families and I just wanted to be here for that.
That's cool, man. So You shut it down. You move back to Connecticut. Shoot, before we hit record, you just told me your nephew kicked some ass in school or something, and you took him out, right?
Yeah. He got student of the month this month, and so I just thought, I think it's important to celebrate things like that. Make them, you know, let them know that somebody's paying attention, and that's a good thing. So we went to Foxwoods Casino. They have the indoor go-karts, which are super fast, and it was a great time. He loved it.
Awesome, man. I thought you said you took him to the casino and you played roulette with him or something, man. But yeah. Anyway. So this is cool, man. So, you know, in our questionnaire that we sent you, one of the questions we asked was, what do you want to talk about when you come on the show? And you share just kind of your journey with the fight, when you found the fight and stuff like that, is where you kind of wanted to start. And when did you find us? What was going on?
Well, like I said, you know, I shut my business down and then restarted. And in the first 10 years of being in business, by the end of that, I was just burnt, like tired of chasing my tail, whatever you want to call it, never getting anywhere. I was doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, I guess. But I didn't even know what was wrong. I had no idea because I had no idea how to run a business. So anyway, then 2018, I started back again, and it didn't take long for that same burn feeling to come back on. You know, like year and a half, 2 years in, I already knew something, you know, it was just, I already felt the same thing that I felt in 10 years before. And then I was fortunate enough, I was working with a different business coach named Mike Savage, and Josh Gadboys, who we all know here, was working with that same business coach. And he connected us because Josh had a project that he didn't want to do. He was looking for somebody to do it, to take it over for him. So I went out and met Josh at the job site. And that first day, just met him. We talked about the deck for a little bit. And then we started talking about this. He told me it was really just about the CSA at the time that he was talking to me about, learning how to sell. And it was just like music to my ears because I knew something was wrong. I was already kind of on to that. I had to figure out a different way to qualify clients rather than running around and doing, just going out and seeing everybody. But I didn't know how. I had no idea how to do that. So when he started telling me that, I was just like, wow, I got to check this out. And of course, I'm skeptical of all this stuff because I'm just afraid somebody's out there just trying to get my money. So it took me a few weeks after that. You know, I started watching some of your podcasts, YouTube videos and stuff, and I started checking out the CSA. And then I decided, well, you know, what the hell? I mean, it's $300. If it doesn't work out, I just drop out after the first month, right? So I jumped in. That was the start. That was in June of last year.
So you met Josh last June, or you met him? Okay, so it's not even been a year.
No.
Okay, so June of 2021, you met Josh, and here we are today. So you said Josh was sharing about the Contractor Sales Academy, which we've blended, for those listening, we've blended it into our new Battleground program. It's all under one roof right now. It's a different program, but it's still the same training. You said it was music to your ears. What did Josh say that was like you heard music?
Well, like I said, I was just burnt. I was feeling that same burn. And at this point, I had already hired a business coach, obviously. Mm-hmm. So starting to learn more about running a business. So he was just like, well, like for an example, I said to him, I started talking to him about sometimes I get in my truck and I'm getting ready to head out and meet with a potential client. And like, I didn't even get to finish the sentence. He goes, and he finished it for me. He's like, you already knew at that point that it was a complete waste of your time. And I'm like, wow, like, yeah. Right. So this guy understands what I'm going through. He spent, I would say, like between 30 and 40 minutes. We were just sitting on a pile of lumber, which was, I mean, I just felt like that was awesome of him. He barely knew me, you know, he didn't have to do any of that. And he spent his time to tell me about it. And, so yeah, it was just like, I guess like I said a few minutes ago, like I knew already that something had to change. And so he was just kind of like filling in the blanks. I was like, this just makes sense. Exactly what I'm trying to learn right now, is, you know, how to qualify customers and not waste so much time with people that aren't going to be my clients. So it was just like the perfect timing.
Yeah. It's funny how I think we could all finish each other's sentences in the trades sometimes, right? Cool. You know, it's there's this bond that I think all contractors have because we've all been dragged through the shit at one point or the other. So let's dig into that a little bit. What was your sales process like before that conversation with Josh, or before you implemented some of the things that we teach?
Well, I really had no sales process. I didn't really know. I feel like, as I look back on it now, I feel like what I really did was just try to, whatever the particular situation was or the client that client was, I was trying to cater to whatever I felt like was best that was going to help me sell to them. But I really had no process. You know, you would call me up and say, you got something to work on in your house. And the first thing I would do is, all right, when can I be there? You know, when's the best time for you? And I would just run. Like, it's so cliche sounding because we talk about it all the time, but that's exactly what I would do, is just like run out to their house as fast as I could get there and throw up on them. Tell them how great I am. Why should you hire me? You know, why you should hire me. And then if they ask me for a price, I would lie to them and tell them I have no idea. I've been doing this my whole life. Of course I have an idea. I had an idea before I got to their house, before I even seen it. And then obviously after I seen it, the idea probably changed a little bit, but I always have it a number in my head right away. I've been doing this a long time, but I was afraid to tell them that. And then I would go back and sit in my office, and it wasn't all work, but I would pull my hair out like for 2 weeks, worried about it. What am I going to do? What am I going to say to this person? That's going to cost. That's too much. I got to figure out a way to make it cheaper. You know, all the normal craziness. And then I would send the estimate to them by email, and I would never even talk to them again if they didn't call me back. I didn't know what a CRM was. I felt like that was just being a pain in somebody's ass. I'm not going to call them back if they got the price, which I guess now when I look at it, sometimes they probably never even got it because maybe there was something wrong with the email address or something, but I would literally not even follow up. So that a lot has changed since then, for sure.
Where do you think that fear of talking money came from?
I guess head trash, but like more specifically from being afraid they would immediately, it would be too much money and they wouldn't want me to do the job. I would like immediately lose it. I think I felt like if I could go back and write up some fancy proposal and, you know, make it a good presentation for them, then maybe I had a better chance of getting the job. I had to do something besides just tell them a number right there on the spot.
Hey fighters, I just want to make sure that you're aware that we have an amazing group coaching program helping hundreds of contractors all over the place called Battleground. If you go to thecontractorfight.com/battleground, you'll get access to not just amazing trainings and programs and over a dozen coaching calls a month and this and that, but the greatest community on planet Earth for home improvement contractors to build relationships, level up their game, and kick some serious butt in their business. So head to thecontractorfight.com/battleground, and we'll see you in there when you're ready to grow your business. Yeah, I know for me, and you know my story, my short bus story, and just kind of the stories that would play in my head about, you know, Reavers never make any money. And I mean, that was literally like the soundtrack of my life for many years in my head. We grew up, I would say, the lower side of middle class. Amazing family in a lot of ways, a lot of love and things like that, but we just never had any money, you know. So I think I just trained myself through the years to think that, you know, there's people like me and us and our family, and then there's people that are the haves, right? They got the money and blah blah blah. And I didn't understand so much of what we talk about now in regards to money. What was your upbringing like?
Very similar situation, you know, lower middle class, and which of course there is no such thing really anymore. But yeah, same situation. No reason for me to think that I should be able to be successful. You know, my dad was I got a good work ethic from my dad and my grandfathers because they were all hard workers, but nobody ever really had anything. There was one business in my family. My mom's sister's husband owned a construction company, like excavating, and that was always an inspiration to me. I guess that would be part of my motivation for being in business and stuff. But yeah, nothing in my life ever would have indicated that I have a chance to be in business or be able to be successful or make good money.
Where is that mindset now?
Well, it's changed. I mean, to add to that a little bit too, is I just had a terrible mindset about money because I've always done decent for myself. I've been in business for a long time. I'm a carpenter by trade, so I always made pretty good money, but I never did anything with it because I always had this mindset that it doesn't matter what I do. As much money as I could possibly save on a weekly basis or whatever you want to say would never amount to nothing. So my mindset was just like, unless I can turn my business into a very successful business and make millions of dollars, I'm probably not going to have a great retirement anyway, and I might as well enjoy the ride. So I never saved money, and that changed for me very recently because of Steve. You know when he started talking about the 50K tracker back in September, and I told this to Tim the other day when I had breakfast with him. The first time I heard him say that, I was like, listen to this fucking guy. Like, this is bullshit. How dare you try to tell somebody to save 50 grand in 6 months? Like, that's just not reality for most people, for me, for certainly. And then the second time I heard him talk about it, he said, listen, it's not important that you actually get to 50 grand in 6 months. What's important is that you change your fucking mindset and start doing something now. And that's when I did. I had a savings account that had $300 in it for like 3 years, and it just sat like that. And now it's got like 10 grand in it. And that's because of Steve and the webinar. So
that's awesome. I've known Steve quite a while, and since I've known him, he's always been pounding that drum of, just start. I don't care if it's 10 bucks a week. I don't care if it's 100 bucks a week. I don't care what it is. Most people either don't have a savings account or they have one like you where it's got 300 bucks, 3,000 bucks in it, whatever. And it's just collecting cobwebs, right? It's just sitting there doing nothing. And what I've learned is, to me, saving and investing money, making money, all that. Once you start doing it and create the momentum, it's hard to stop. It's like eating potato chips for me. Like I'm a freak, right, with eating. Like if I'm not careful, I will be up. I'll sneak out of the bedroom late at night and I'll eat something salty. Like I got to have some chips. In fact, many years ago, I used to make nachos before bed. It'd be like fucking 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I'm wolfing a plate of nachos, man. Cause I just love the saltiness. But anyway, I've seen this over and over where somebody just makes that decision to start and they just make that commitment. For those that are like, what's this 50K thing? In our Battleground program, one of my partners, Steve, he's always talking retirement. He's always talking investing and this and that. He's challenging everybody to up their game with making sure you're paying yourself first and stuff. And so he puts out a thing. It's just a tracker. It says save 50 grand in 6 months. And I'm blown away by, number one, how many people were able to do it. But I'm more blown away by the number of people that actually made some progress like you. Like, because you've developed the habit now, right? And so once the habit is there, the number of zeros behind the first number that you sock away each week or each month, that's just going to grow because the habit is there. In fact, we tell this story all the time in the group, but Annette and Charlie, they started with 100 bucks a week. And after 4 years, let's see, that if they just did 100 bucks a week after 4 years, it'd be like $20,800 or something they'd have in an account. They actually had over $420,000 in that account because it created that momentum and that potato chip habit, right? Where they had to keep building that. So talk about a little bit of your sales process now. Cause you were like, hey, before it'd be like, I'm running out there, whatever it takes, somebody needs something done, I'm your guy. And listen, I think a lot of us start that way. I know I started that way in the painting industry. Like, you wanted something painted, I was there. Cause I had a family to feed, right? I'm trying to pay the bills. And so I 100% get that. But then there comes a time when you kind of got to wake up a little bit and dial some shit in. And I'm curious what that process looks like for you now.
Well, yeah, definitely a completely different process. And as soon as I joined the CSA last year, I immediately became committed to doing it that way. Mm. Like I said it to Josh and to plenty of other people, like, there is no turning back for me now. I'm going to learn this and this is the way I'm going to do it, or I'm just not going to do it anymore. One or the other. So now my sales process is written. It's always obviously a work in progress, mm-hmm. but I have it all written out. And once the lead comes in, depending on how it comes in, Facebook, whatever, however it comes in, I start the process by trying to get photos, like maybe a mini foo, depending on how, who it is or, what it is, but like some pre-qualifying questions, get the photos, whether it's they go to my website and fill out the form or just text them to me. I'm also leaning towards getting videos now, which seems to be working out pretty good. Everybody's got a smartphone pretty much. So I just ask people, shoot a video with your smartphone and narrate it a little bit, send it over to me. And then I set up the first initial telephone consultation with them. And I've got some processes in place through Builder Trend where I can just like import an activity template, which has like 4 emails that goes out. The first one asks them to book a consultation on my Calendly. A couple days later, another one goes out. It says if they haven't done it already, reminds them to do it. And then we have our telephone consultation and take it from there.
How has this shift in your process changed your business?
definitely changed my business for the better. It's changed my life, I think, because it saves me so much time and so much less stress. It feels so much better to do it this way. It's just like the process is so much more respectful. I feel like I just feel like people relate to it better. You know, it doesn't work for everybody. Obviously, we all know that. Some people are just like, screw that. This guy won't come out to my house. Mm-hmm. Wants me to send him pictures. I'm not dealing with that. But for most people get it. And most people, even when it doesn't turn into your client, you leave the call feeling more respected. They usually thank you for the information that you gave them. So it's like night and day difference as far as that goes.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Some people are like, hey, fuck you. If you ain't running right out here and playing my game, you're dead to me, right? I know there's a lot of contractors and salespeople that listen to this, and they're skeptical of this thing. And what I've personally seen over the years that we've been teaching this and doing this is that there's actually more pushback from other contractors than there are from the average homeowner or consumer. Like, if you position this right, the spirit of the conversation, and you have some confidence behind it, and you're not just like, because you've heard guys before, right? They're like, yeah, I'm going to stop running around for free and stuff. And then the next lead that comes in, they're like, hey, listen, motherfucker, I ain't coming out unless you send me some pictures and blah, blah, blah. And then they wonder why the people are giving them a review saying this guy's a fucking dick, right? He wouldn't even come out to my house. And because they're, and I'm being serious with that example. Like, literally, that is the spirit that some people bring to this when they hear us talk about it. And I know you're not doing that. So what can you say to somebody who's skeptical about thinking or has a lot of bullshit in their head around, oh, consumers are never going to go for this, blah, blah, blah?
I mean, just point blank, that's not true. You got to change your mindset about it. Get on the tracker. If we're talking about people that are just like in the free fight group, get in Battleground, get on the tracker and start practicing the role plays, because that definitely helps. Like, you can understand how it's going to work better. Just point blank, that's not true. People receive it way better than you'd think they receive it. But like you said, like that example, you can't do that. You can't act like that. I mean, you got to talk to them and you know, have a good tone and like not, yeah. You can't just lash out at people for sure.
You know, and I want to give people an example here. If you're going to start trying to get a process in line like this, where you're not just running around, guys, just take some time, be grateful they called, have that spirit about you, good tonality, smile on the phone, thank them for giving you a shot to have a conversation. Just say, hey, listen, like one of the things we teach is how to go third party, right? Sometimes Dan will go third party. I might say to you, Dan, hey Dan, listen, are you cool if I share with you how we go about getting people an estimate for their project? And you're going to go, yeah, that's cool. I'm going, well, listen, we got this crazy thing where it starts with a phone call. We look at a couple pictures, maybe a video you send over, and we'll get on the phone and we'll just have a conversation. Because if you're like, this is where I go third party. If you're like most people, you want some information pretty quickly around, you know, what something this might cost, how long it'll take. And I don't want to burn a bunch of your time having you wait for me to be able to come out there and spend some time with you. Because often, you know this, a lot of companies right now, whenever I call a contractor, I'll tell you what, man, it's funny. The last couple of years, whenever I've called a contractor for something, first of all, none of them do this process, which is annoying. It's really annoying. Yeah. But the second thing is they can't get out here for a week and a half or 2 weeks to even look at it. And I've offered, like, can I send you some pictures? Can I shoot you a video and just call me back? We'll just kind of get on the same page, see if it makes sense for you to come out here. Like, when you present it like that to somebody, that, hey, I'm doing this to save you some time, right? I want you to have some information. Let's just see if we're on the same planet. You know, let me see if I can even help you with your project. I don't even know if I can help you, you know? When you tee it up that way, there's virtually no resistance. People are like, oh, that totally makes sense. Because they want shit now, meaning what I mean is we've been conditioned with our smartphones and microwaves and remote controls and all this shit to get what we want right now. What I want with a project or anything is I just want to know the ball is moving forward. I want to know that I'm checking some boxes, I'm making progress. If you're telling me you can't get out for a week or 3 days or 2 days or fucking month to even look at it, then in my mind, I got to look for somebody else and start some other conversations here. But when you can have this conversation with somebody right away, you're kind of taking them off the market.
Yeah. Sales game. It feels so much better than going out there and spending all that time. And like I was saying before, when Josh was talking to me, not even driving away. I was just going to say driving away from the job or the client's house, but driving to it, you already felt bad about the process, felt like you already knew it was a waste of your time. And then driving away, oh man, I spent all that time. And then again, 2 weeks probably before I would actually finish the proposal, because I'm sweating it the whole time, second guessing myself, double checking things, changing it. And then 95% of the time, the whole thing was a complete waste of my time.
How about your sales rates, things like that, average job size? Have you been able to raise that using the Shinfu and some of those strategies?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because like for me, it's hard at this point to even know, because before I met you guys and started implementing these things, I didn't track anything. I had no idea. You know, I thought I was doing good because I used QuickBooks, entered all my stuff in, had an accountant to like do my taxes at the end of the year, keeping things straight. I didn't know any better. I really didn't. I didn't know how. I knew where the financial reports were, and I looked at them every once in a while to see like the top line number, but I didn't know anything else about it. So, and now I am starting to obviously track things. I just caught up with the on the KPI tracker this morning, because I was using just the KPI tracker sheet, where you just fill in the blanks, not the actual tracker.
Yep.
So I have been keeping up with that, and now I went into the tracker. I think I made a mistake this morning and entered the wrong month, but I don't know if I can fix that or not. But anyway, at least I'm doing that stuff now. And I just created some baselines for myself based on my goal for the year, and just kind of, you know, broke that down and created a baseline for me to have, so that, you know, as I start to track this stuff, then I can compare it. And then like job cost, and I never did that. I didn't know. I didn't know. I sound so naive. I hate even saying it, because like I was in business for years and had no idea to track any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Nothing mattered. All it mattered is that I was paying the guys that worked for me. I was living. We had the right tools to do the job. And someday I'm going to have so much business because I'm out there doing the right thing for my customers, doing the right thing for my employees, that it's just going to grow naturally. And someday I'm going to have so much work that I'm going to start making millions of dollars. That was my mindset. I wish I had somebody to teach me a long time ago that wasn't going to cut it.
You know, I think a lot of us have operated that way, and it, you know, just is what it is, because you don't know what you don't know until you get around an environment where your eyes can be open and things like that. So I want to dig in for a minute on this tracking thing. I know you didn't track before, and that's cool. Most people that come into the fight don't, believe it or not, initially. But since you've started job costing and tracking and doing your KPIs and all the things that we talk about, what are some things that you've learned about yourself, the business, as a result of that?
I guess primarily would be the importance of it. And, you know, like just knowing how, now I know how to go through my profit and loss and my, I forget what the other one's called right now, but I know how to look at those now and understand it, like go through and make sure that there's something isn't crazy wrong, like go through my expenses and open them up and see what was spent on what, and just be able to keep an eye on that. And the importance of job costing. And I use BuilderTrend. I know there's quite a few people in the group that use that. So for me, that's actually pretty easy, because BuilderTrend, just, you can just open up the budget on any project and see in real time how much the total revenue from the job was, how much you've spent on it so far, and where, and what your gross profit is, like at any point. But what I learned was that all the information going in had to be right, and that I have to get the cost codes nailed down. That's always been a disaster for me, because I never really understood how to do it or what cost codes I should use. So now I'm starting to get that dialed in. And when I open up the budget, I can literally see line by line, you know, this is like plumbing subcontractor, whatever. This is what we budgeted for the job. This is what we spent on it, whether we're negative or plus. And it's just very easy to see now. So, and again, it's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm just starting to do this stuff. So
the math doesn't lie, man. You know, it's I know many times in the past I would job cost something while we were in the middle of a project, right? You know, so those longer projects, and there were times I'd be like, oh shit, we better dial in some efficiencies, or I better find some upsells here, man, because I ain't gonna make any fucking money on this thing, man. And nothing right. opens, you know this, you've heard this 1,000 times in the fight, man. You know, everybody's like, oh, I need to know my numbers. How do I know my numbers? I always say, just start job costing. Like, there's nothing like job costing that teaches you your numbers.
Right. Yeah, I can look back now because I've had Builder Trend in place for like probably like a year and a half. But all my numbers weren't in there, right? Like I just said, and I didn't even really know. I would look at it because my cost codes wouldn't line up. Like when I do an estimate, I do it under certain cost codes. And then when I'm entering bills back in, I wasn't using the right cost codes because I didn't have a good system. So then you look at the budget and it's just like messed up. Like you still got that top line number up there that gives you an idea, but everything under it was messed up. So I would hesitate to look at it, but now I can still even go back at some of those jobs from last year and the year before and click on them. And even though everything isn't perfect, I can get an idea that my gross profit was like 20%, 25%, less than that on some of them. Yeah. I mean, it's just good to know and know that I got to change and things are changing. So
good stuff, man. So, hey, listen, before we wrap up, what's something that you would just like the average home improvement contractor to know? It could be, you know, about mindset. It'd be about your business. It'd be about anything that you've learned. Just, you know, what's something that we should have touched on, maybe that I didn't touch on here today, that you'd like to kind of have the mic here for a minute and share with the contracting world?
Two things come to mind, and that's the head trash thing. Just realize that that's really what it is. That those voices in your head that are knocking you down all the time, telling you can't do it, it's just bullshit. And you just gotta keep a strong mindset and put that stuff to rest and go to work every day. And, you know, stack the small wins. And then ask for help. Just do it. Like I wish I'd known. Like I said that to you a few minutes ago. I wish I'd known there was help out there years ago. I just never even had a clue. But yeah, I mean, don't be afraid to ask for help, because it's especially in this community. I mean, you know, even on the free site, the Contractor Fight free site, there's help out there for you. And if you just ask a question, somebody's going to jump up there. A lot of people are going to jump up there and help you. So you're not alone.
Man, that's great. Cause we hear that all the time. We're like, holy shit, I didn't know this community existed. And most of us do feel alone when we're building a business. Being an entrepreneur, being a business owner could be extremely lonely. And you feel like you're the only one. I know that's how I felt. And shit, even what I do now with the Contractor Fight and this and that, you know, a little bit different industry than out producing jobs and stuff. But there's times, even though I have a big team and all this other amazing things going on in the Contractor Fight, there's days and periods of time that I feel alone, right? And so it's, you have to have that community around you if you're ever going to truly reach your greatest potential and the goals that you have for yourself. So dude, if somebody wants to, somebody's listening to this or like, man, I want to be a part of what Dan's got going on. Like I said, before we hit record here today, a lot of times, some of our guests will end up picking up employees in their area or whatever. Where can somebody find you and reach out to you, man?
Well, my website is www.dbc.solutions. And my telephone number is 860-341-6373. You can call me or text me anytime. If you jump on the website and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, there's a button that says careers. If anybody's interested in working for us, that would be awesome. You can click there to get started. And yeah, that's about it.
I love it, man. Yeah, we'll get all that in the show notes and can't wait to share your story with so many people, man. I super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. And you rock, man.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me. Thanks, Tom.
All right, everybody. Couple housekeeping things here real quick. First is share this with another contractor. Give us a review. The more reviews we get wherever you listen to this, the more it gets pushed in front of other contractors. And guys, that's a good thing. You want more contractors hearing shit like this, because a rising tide lifts all ships. Let's get better together. And the second thing I want to share with you guys here today is at the time of this recording, it is Monday, March 7th. And I am going to be in Providence, Rhode Island, March 24th, 25th, 26th for JLC Live. Myself and some of the fight team are going to be there. We're actually going to be exhibiting, and then we're sponsoring the beer garden. So come and let us buy you a beer or two at JLC Live at the end of March. Just go to, what's the frickin' website? Here we got, just Google JLC Live. Let's just keep it at that. Keep it simple. And you'll find it. And with that, everybody, super appreciate you. And Travis, rock us out with those guitars. We'll see you guys next time.